Luke chapter 8. Some of y'all fumbling around like you ain't read it in a while. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need the help of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We pray that you would hover upon this place, brood upon us, bless this assembly. Use the preaching, the teaching, the reading of thy word to speak to hearts. Draw men, women, boys and girls, young and old, to thee. Lift up and glorify, magnify thy name. Bless thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I'll bring you this message this morning entitled, The Storm. I saw a thing not long ago that said, The Perfect Storm. And of course, they were talking about this Hurricane Sandy and the storm that was coming down out of Canada, and they were meeting, and all the disaster and the devastation and all the things that went with it, and that thing's just devastated New York, New Jersey. It's just awful up there. And they were talking about that was the perfect storm. I think a few years ago somebody made a movie called The Perfect Storm. I can't remember who it was nor what it was about. I'm not sure I saw it. I just remember seeing the title. But we talk about storms all the time because there's always one brewing somewhere. We talk about storms in the natural realm with the sun and the wind and the cold and that kind of thing. And then, of course, as Christians, we talk about storms in our lives. And a lot of times that has to do with situations that we're in, a health problem, a marital problem, a financial problem, children problems. Our list of problems are almost endless, you know. But it seems like we're always in something. Somebody said one time, if you're a Christian, you're either in a storm, just came out of a storm, or headed into a storm. That's just the Christian life. People tend to think that it's going to be smooth sailing, fair winds, and following seas. Their whole life's not going to be that way. If you've got good times now, your storm will come. You're just not going to get through without it. And so I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes this morning. Now, you need to understand that not every phenomenon that takes place in nature it would be classified as a storm. In the summertime or in the springtime, we say we have showers. And the little old cumulus clouds will drift in, the wind will blow them in, and it will just start to rain, and you'll get a nice shower. It rained for 20, 30 minutes, and rinse the dust off the plants and put a shine on the grass and make the trees green again. And then it drifts away and it's gone. Now, we call that rain. Precipitation without wind is rain. But precipitation with wind is storm. Now, there are a multitude of kinds of storms. We have snowstorms. We have sandstorms, dust storms, wind storms. We have tornadoes, hurricanes, thunderstorms, lightning storms. I remember last summer, we sat on our front porch in the evening a lot, and we saw the clouds building up back over there in the east. And in a few minutes, they were kind of drifting our way. You could see the lightning flashing from one side of the sky to the other. And it just got more and more intense, just thundering and lightning. And that thing came across us, drifted across our house, and disappeared into the sunset. Never rained a drop. It was just a storm of lightning. It was scary. It was frightening, because if you get nailed by that thing, I'm here to tell you, lightning will toast your bread. Somebody say amen. So I want to talk to you about the storm, and I got three things that I want to say about it, three points. There's always a reason for the storm. There is always a reaction to the storm, and there's always the result of the storm. Now, I want to talk about those three things for just a few minutes. We'll try and be brief this morning. I had a small bowl of cereal, and I'm hungry already, so I don't want to drag this out. Number one, the reason for the storm. Now, in the natural realm, there's always a reason why you have a storm. When I was working on my commercial pilot's license, I had to take 100 hours of meteorology. That's the most boring thing. Why anybody on God's good green earth would want to be a weatherman, I cannot figure out. The only thing less exciting is being a geologist. I mean, it's just boring. But you have to take it, and you have to pass it, or they won't let you fly the airplane. So I took it. Now, and I can remember they talked about warm fronts, cold fronts, occluded fronts. High pressure, low pressure, and inversion. They talked about the different kind of clouds, cumulus, cumulonimbo, cirrus, high cirrus, standing lenticular, and Virga. Those are the different kind of clouds there are. Isn't that exciting? I mean, you just study that stuff, you know. And they talk about pressure, high pressure and low pressure, millibars, you know, on your pressure gauge. And every time you start talking about millibars, you can just see everybody start salivating. You know, they just get excited thinking about millibars of pressure. But they had a saying, from high to low, look out below, you know, because that messes up your altimeter, and you'd be lower than you think you are. Weather changes because warm air and cold air mix. They hit a mountain ridge and bounce off, or they get heavy with water off the sea coast. All those things, the convection, the jet stream and all, and all that stuff, the hot and the cold, the moisture, the lack of moisture, all those things combine to produce the weather that you see across the planet. And as conditions change, the weather changes. And we've gotten used to it. We listen to the weather report every day. That's the only profession. There's two professions in the world that you don't have to be good at to get paid well for. You can be a school teacher and turn out a poor product and demand more money for it. You can be a weather forecaster and be wrong half of the time and be considered good at it. <It's>, you live in a convoluted world. So in the natural realm, when the conditions are right, you have sunny weather with mild breezes, and it's just like it was yesterday. Yesterday was a great golfing day. But now things are going to change, and it'll get cold, and it'll be overcast, and it'll be rainy, and everybody will want to stay in. And that's all because the conditions change all the time. The air is in a continual, perpetual state of flux. And sometimes that shifting, changing atmosphere produces storms, all kinds of storms, little thunderstorms that come and go in 20 or 30 minutes, cyclones or tornadoes that rip through that are totally unpredictable and just absolutely devastating, to massive hurricanes that cover 300, 400, 500 miles of area and just drench a place in soaking rains and 80, 90, 100 mile an hour winds. It's all produced by the same atmosphere that produces the warm sunny day. Just happens to be mixed a little different. Life is like that. Your situation changes all the time. You think, oh, well, I'm married, we got a house, we got kids, and I got a job, and it's going to be like this forever. No, it's not. Them kids are going to start growing up, and their wants and their needs are going to begin to change. And you can try and be rigid if you want to, but they're going to change whether you want to or not. And you better figure out some way to change with them or get them to change with you. And pretty soon they'll be grown up. And by the way, when they grow up, you get old. And that job you used to enjoy is now drudgery. And all you can think about is the day you can quit. Amen. And by the way, after you quit, you find out you wish you'd quit a couple years earlier. Your life situation changes. And sometimes, boy, it seems like everything is going your way. I remember getting married. I was a young man. I had a beautiful wife, bright, talented, and just drop-dead pretty. Had three gorgeous kids. Had a bright career. I was young, strong, energetic, powerful. That was supposed to be funny. I thought, it's going to be like this forever. Look at me. Do I not look like I've been through the storms of life? Huh? You're going to get there too. Our actions, our interactions, our lifestyles, our choices, our decisions, our interaction with other people determine the weather in our life. Whether we have fair winds and falling seas or whether we're in a hurricane all the time. Amen. People say, I don't know why this happened to me. There's a good reason why it happened to you. 9 out of 10 is because of what you did or what you refused to do. Amen. Now, the reason for the storm in the life of a Christian. I just want to use nature to emphasize and illustrate the point. The reason for the storm in the life of God's children. Chastening for sin. It's the 21st century and we can't preach on sin anymore. The federal government is already monitoring communion, forcing people to buy insurance that compels them to do things or provide people with things that we object to on matters of conscience. Somebody say amen. So the government's already got its nose stuck in the church, and it's going to get a whole lot worse. In our day and age, we don't talk about sin much, and we certainly don't emphasize the fact that God punishes sin in the lives of His children. If we won't repent, if we won't get right, if we insist on having our way, there will be a price to pay for it. The Bible said that God chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. And if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. Amen. Now, so sometimes the reason for the storm in your life is God trying to get your attention. He is punishing you for what you have done or sometimes what you refuse to do for God. Sometimes the storms come and they're a wake-up call for the apathy in our life. We have settled down, we've gotten comfortable, we've become lazy, we're not diligent anymore, we're just going to church, living a decent life, but we're not excited about God anymore, we're not thrilled to see people get saved anymore, we're not laboring for Christ anymore, we're not trying to bring new converts to Christ anymore, we just, I've been saved 20 years, I've done my part. The man that led me to Christ told me one time, I was trying to get him to go soul winning, and he said, Bob, he said, I've done my part. You haven't done your part as long as you're still breathing. Jesus had to do His part till it killed Him. Amen. And if you're supposed to be His servant, you're supposed to be His servant until you die. As long as you have breath, you ought to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we tend to get settled down. We get comfortable. We've learned our little religion. We have our group, and we're perfectly at ease. And sometimes God sends a storm to get us up off our blessed assurance and get us back in the game. Sometimes God sends the storm to help us develop our faith. You see, if God never delivers you from anything, if you never see God win a victory for you, if you never see God help you, your faith will stay just where it's at. The thing that grows faith is seeing God in action. Now, several months ago, our daughter was diagnosed with a triple negative breast cancer, super aggressive. She had none of the markers. She's never smoked. She's never drunk. She's raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, married a Christian man, attends church, tithes her money. She's a pretty good girl. A little too liberal for me, but by today's standards, not bad. My kids have never been as hard-nosed as I am. But they had to do that on their own. Anyway, she's sick. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We started praying. He said, well, that's a heck of a time to start. We always prayed. But when she got sick, we got more earnest. We got more fervent. We got more specific. Say, why? Because we're scared. That's my little girl, and I don't want to lose her. I love that little heifer. She's sassy and bossy and head strong. She's just like her daddy. Wonderful, wonderful. Man, we've always prayed, but when you get a burden like that, when you get scared, I guarantee you can do some real praying, boy. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you get a burden, when you get scared, when you got a problem, you can get really earnest about it. You can get real earnest about it. Listen, God has been so good. After about the third or fourth one of them chemo treatments, she went and the guy did a physical exam, couldn't find the tumor anymore. Couldn't find it. Now, we had to go on with the treatments, and Lord knows she'd been sick as a dog from them, but not as bad as it could have been. And now it's all over with, and she's starting to get her strength back and get her health back and getting over the side effects, and you wouldn't believe some of the side effects to chemo. Terrible, terrible. I'm here to tell you, we've been praising God and shouting the victory at my house for a couple of weeks now. You say, why? Because we saw God come walking on the water and take care of my little girl and deliver her when all the odds were against her. She was triple negative. That means none of her receptors are responsive to the chemo. Yet, they did. Say, so who did that? God did that. My Savior did that. Lord Jesus Christ did that. I'm here to tell you, I want to brag on Him. I want to shout about Him. Thank God for the doctor. Thank God for the medicine. I'm not against the technology. If I get sick, I'm going to the doctor, but I'm going to pray all the way there. And when I get through, I'll be glad to give honor to whom honor. I say, thank you, doctor. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the storms come to help develop your faith. When God delivers you, your faith cannot help but become stronger. Sometimes God lets the storms come to blow you in the right direction. You ever notice how storms are? Thunderstorm comes up, the wind is blowing in a particular direction. You watch the leaves or the paper in your front yard. And when that storm comes through, if that wind's blowing this way, everything goes that way. It goes the direction that the wind is blowing. If you're sailing a boat, if you want to go fast, you go with the wind. Amen? If you want to fight and struggle, go against it. It's a whole lot easier to turn and go with it. Now, when storms come and the wind blows, the wind blows everything in its path in the same general direction. You know, sometimes Christians, we get off track. God had us going this way. And we saw something over here we liked. Or maybe we saw something down this way that we didn't like. And so we veer off course just a little bit. And then a little while later, a little bit more. And a little while later, maybe a little bit more. And before long, you know, God originally had you going this way. And somehow you get to look and you're going this way. You're not doing what God wanted you to do. You're not where God wanted you to be. You're not with the people God intended you to be with. You're in the wrong place. And so God sends a storm, and it comes this way. See, what's he doing? It's blowing you back over here, getting you on track. Amen. Sometimes the storm, God lets it come to help blow us in the right direction. Because we're like sheep. We ain't got a clue which way we ought to go most of the time. So there's always a reason for the storm. Number two, there's always the reaction to the storm. I was listening to the news the other night, and people up in New Jersey, New York, God knows my heart goes out to them. I thought about going up and volunteering, but unless you're in a union, they don't want you. I was talking to a fellow at the golf course the other day, and his son-in-law, who is an electrician, worked for Duke Power, got a bunch of his buddies, and they went up 2 days after Sandy went through to volunteer. They're all certified electricians. They went and said, "We're here. We brought our tools. We've got our equipment. We're ready to go. Just tell us what you want us to do." And the guy said, "Where's your union card?" They said, "Well, we don't have one. We don't have a union." They sent them back to South Carolina. Something bad wrong with that picture, buddy. When your union is more important than your country, you got too much emphasis on your union. Amen. Amen. Anyway, they went up to help with that storm. Now, I'm watching the news, and they show all these people that are crying. And because they've lost it, I'm not being ugly about it. I mean, they're shedding tears, they're boo-hooing, they're sad, they're depressed. Some of them are ready to give up. They've lost everything they had. They just had a hurricane a year ago, they're about to get over it, and now they got this thing, and then they get slammed with that second nor'easter, and one lady said, "I can't take it anymore." And you look at all the destruction and all the debris, you say, man, this was not only a massive storm, it was a devastating storm. So what some people do, they're angry about it. They're angry. They're mad. Why did this happen to us? Well, and how come FEMA didn't get in here quicker? What you ought to do is send FEMA to California. The sooner you get rid of FEMA, the better off you are. But how come, where's the government? Where's the governor? Nobody's helping us. They're not doing it fast enough. They're not doing it long enough. They're not spending enough money. Look, it's been 2 weeks or whatever it is, and we don't have our power back on, and we're still in the darkness, and boy, they're just angry and bitter, and they're rioting and looting, and that's all kind of crazy stuff going on up there. So what is that? That's their reaction to the storm. The Christians do exactly the same thing. Trouble comes. Marriage falls apart. A mate passes away. Children get in trouble. Whatever it is. And what they do, they get angry at God. Why did God let this happen? Well, I go to church. I tithe. I pray. I read my Bible. I'm a good, godly, independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James, only Christ, exalted, sin, hating, little doohickey. How in the world did God let this happen to me? And you get angry at God. Dumb. You know, all them people up there in that storm that is whining and crying and wanting to throw in the towel and quit and just leave aren't ever going to get through the storm. They're not going to get over the storm. They're not going to get victory over the storm. They're not going to rebuild. The storm's going to beat them. Amen. Getting mad at the storm doesn't fix anything. Getting mad at God won't fix anything. Sometimes the reaction of the storm is bitterness and resentment, rebellion and desertion. But sometimes it's humility and submission. Now, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, at my age, everything got where it runs together, buddy. I need to put markers on the days so I can come apart. Because Tuesday looks just like Wednesday, and Wednesday looks like Thursday, and it's a product of old age and retirement. They showed these folks, and they had red-tagged their house, which means they can't even go inside. It's structurally unsound. You can't live in it. And they was asking the lady about it. And she said, well, we've lost everything. They're going to bulldoze our house. We lost a car. We lost the house. Lost everything in it. Lost all of our artifacts, all of our pictures, every memento. It was like the history of a lifetime was wiped away in a matter of a few hours. You know what the lady said? She said, we'll clean it up. We'll struggle. We'll fuss. But we'll rebuild. We'll beat this thing. We're not going to let the storm ruin what's left of our life. Now let me tell you, when God lets a storm come in your life as a Christian, don't get angry. Don't get bitter. Don't get rebellious. Get humble. What you ought to do when the storm comes, say, Lord, how can we fix this? What have I done? What have I not done? What do I need to learn? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do to cause the conditions that produced this storm to dissipate so that the storm leaves my life? And when the storm passes away, and storms always pass away, in the midst of the storm, you may think it's going to last forever, but they never do. You know that the average lifespan of a thunderstorm is 20 minutes? 20 minutes. Once a hurricane hits dry land, its average life is less than 72 hours. It's not going to last forever. It may leave an ugly scar and it may leave a mess, but the storm will be gone. And people survive it. And when God lets storms come in your life, they are not forever. Learn from it. Be admonished by it. Humble yourself. Seek God's face. Draw nigh unto Him and He will draw nigh unto you. Amen? And then what do you do when the storm passes away? Glorify God for His goodness. Thank God the storm is gone. Thank God that God got me through the storm. Thank God that I was not overcome. Thank God I was not destroyed in the storm. You could have been. Well over 100 people died in Hurricane Sandy. The storm destroyed them. You don't have to let that happen to you as a Christian. Flee unto God. Draw nigh unto Him. Get under His wing. Let Him protect. Don't get angry. Don't get rebellious. Find some humility. Submit to Him. Sometimes God lets that storm come so that it will stir up and produce an awakening. You know what I heard these folks talking about up there in New York the other day? They said when Katrina or whatever it was, I can't remember them, came through a year or so ago. Well, they started with 9/11, and it disrupted the power grid and all that. All they did was fix it. They didn't upgrade it. They didn't improve it. They didn't remodel it. They didn't refurbish it. They just got it up and running, and then they quit. Then the hurricane came through, and a couple million people lost power. You know what they did? They just got the power back on. And they didn't say, you know, every time a storm comes through here, it knocks out our power. What do we need to do? Can we put it underground? You know, whatever. New technology. They didn't do it. You know what they're doing this time? They're just getting it operating again. They have no plans to upgrade. They have no plans to fix it. They don't have any plans to change anything. Listen, when God lets a storm come in your life, learn a lesson from it. Change something. Grow from it. Get excited because of it. Say, the Lord let the storm come. He wants me to learn this. He wants me to learn that. Find out what the lesson is. Find out what the direction is. Don't go through the storm and sit back down and go on just like you were before. Fix it. Awake. Arise. Go to work. Number three, the result of the storm. Well, listen, some of the people, New York, New Jersey, and they say they've learned one thing. You can't depend on the government, state or federal. You can't count on FEMA. You can't count on the power companies. They said we have to learn to lean on ourselves. We have to become more self-sufficient. They learned something. Government, in spite of what the president administration declared, the government can't fix everything. Amen. Matter of fact, most of the time the government just messes everything up. Amen. But these folks learn that they have to depend on themselves. Now listen, you and I are Christians. Let me tell you what I've learned. I've been saved 40 years. I'm 60, almost 68 years old. I'll be 68 next month. I'm looking for a nice present. I've learned the one thing I can't do is depend on me. Son, I have lived long enough to find out I'm not as big as life. I'm not as big as the storms of life. Things come up that I am not prepared or equipped to handle. I have learned, and I willingly admit, that when storms arise, the first thing this old boy does is I run to Jesus Christ. Amen. The first thing you ought to learn from the storm, the lesson from the storm, ought to be that you and I are not sufficient for the troubles of life. You and I cannot handle some of the storms that's going to come our way. I remember being 25, 26 years old and thinking I was about the meanest, baddest, smartest little dude on 2 feet. Cocky, arrogant. I've gotten over all of that. Didn't take me long to figure out there's some things I can't handle. I'm going to tell you something. There's some things you can't handle. There's going to be a lot of places, buddy, where you really, honestly, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have some help. The storm should produce greater dependence on God. Not anger, not rebellion, not resentment. It ought to produce greater dependence. It ought to make us realize how insufficient, incapable you and I are to handle the really big storms of life. A few years ago, my wife went to the doctor for a normal checkup. She'd been having a little heartburn at night, and we was eating Rolaids, about a six-pack. She went down to get her heart checked out, or went to for a regular physical. The doctor listened to her, checked her out, sent her across the street to the heart doctor. The heart doctor looked at her, did a couple little quick tests, and sent her to the hospital. They put her in the surgery the next morning, did a triple bypass. I mean, that thing went so quick, I wasn't sure what was going on there for about 2 days. I mean, it was just kind of a blur. And the doctor came out there and showed me these pictures with these arteries all stopped up. And the one that goes in the back of the heart that feeds the heart was 98% blocked. And is in a place they can't fix. It's actually ties into the heart muscle. I'd have been so scared in my life. I spent 20 years in the military. I've been in 3 war zones. I was never as afraid as I was when I thought I was going to lose my sweetheart. Boy, I got on my face, and God gave me a peace and an assurance and a calmness that I do not possess. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to testify that our God can calm you in the worst storm. He can give you a peace and an assurance that you have no reason to have. Everything looked like it's wrong. Everything looked like it's going south. Everything looked like it's falling apart. The doctors don't have one good thing to say. The prognosis is just down and dirty. And all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, gives you a peace that's settled deep down in your soul. And you say, where did that come from? It came from God. That's the only place it can come from. It doesn't come from your flesh. Your flesh worries and frets. It It doesn't come from the doctor. They depress you. It doesn't come from life experience. It's been a disaster. I'm telling you where the peace and the calm, I'm telling you where the assurance comes from. It only comes from one place. It comes from God Almighty. The result of the storm. Greater dependence on Christ. A closer walk with Christ. You know, sometimes all of us independent, fundamental little doohickeys, we all love Jesus. Ask any of us. They'll tell you right now, preacher, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to serve Jesus to my dying breath. Amen. If I know my heart... Y'all got to worry when Christians start talking like that. Boy, when we're in the midst of the storm, we get close. We can do some praying. We can get on the telephone and ask everybody we know to pray. Listen, when my wife had her heart trouble, I called my Catholic friends and asked them to pray. I'm not sure they can get anything through, but I wasn't taking no chances. If I'd had Mitt Romney's phone number, I'd have called him. You think that's funny, buddy? I tell you what, you get something like that on your plate and see if you don't try everything you can try. God got us through it. You know what you say, boy? Okay, Lord, I got it. I got that wake-up call. I got it. I know what that storm was for. Me and you, buddy, we're going to be just like this from now. We're going to be joined at the hip. And for a little while you are. And then it slips into the past. And the memories fade a little. And you get a little space between present and past events. And you get a little slacker and a little looser. It's like this. When my wife first had her heart trouble, they put her on this diet. They told her, you got to change your lifestyle or you're going to be back. She lost a ton of weight because she wasn't eating nothing but bird food. We counted calories. We look for carbohydrates and protein and all that stuff. And it had to be on the glycemic index. And we looked at ounces and portion size and portion control and sugar-free and tasteless. Man, she's doing good. But now it's been about 5 years, you understand? So... when we go to KFC, she has fried chicken. Now, I just found out I got sugar diabetes, so I'm still on the baked or grilled or whatever it is. But I noticed this backslider. Time has a way of doing that. You know why you have to have another storm down the road? Because you've lost the lesson learned from the last storm. You need a little reminder. The storm ought to produce a closer walk with the Lord. But here's what it really ought to do for you, ladies and gentlemen. If we get from the storms of our life, what we ought to get from the storms of our life, and there's a multitude of things we can learn. There's a lot of reasons why the storms that God lets come our way are good for us, if we'll use them like we should. But the fact that God sees us through and delivers us safe and sound on the other side ought to make us love Him more. If it does anything at all for us, it ought to make us love Him more than we ever have. Now, 50 years ago, I got married to a pretty little 110-pound blue-eyed baby doll. My soul, prettiest thing I ever laid eyes on in my life. And she married me. I tell her all the time, I can't believe I'm married to you. Don't I all the time. Because I look at her sometimes and I think, how in the world did somebody like me get somebody like her? I can't figure that out to save my life. It's got to be the goodness of God. What was I talking about before I got carried away? Man, I quit preaching and started having a good time. Now, when we first got married, I'd say, sweetheart, I love you. And see, I love you too. I've always had more passion for it than she does. And but I did. I loved her. I thought she was sweet. I thought she was beautiful. She couldn't cook. But I'm telling you the honest truth, son. She couldn't boil water. She's the only person I know that put on a pot of water to fix minute rice and ruined it. I mean, it's just awful. But she got over it. Then the children came along, and we had to work and struggle. We didn't have any money, and but the time went by. We got them through school, got them through college, and got down, and life just got sweeter and better. And I saw how faithful she was and how diligent. What a loving, trusting woman she was. What a great mother she was. I saw her fidelity to Christ. I love her more today. I've been married to her for 50 years. I have more respect for her, and I love her more this day than I ever have in my life. And we have been through some storms together, and I saw how she handled them. And what it's done, it's made me love her more than ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saved 40 years. When I got saved, I loved the Lord. People say, you love Jesus? Oh, yeah, man, glory to God, I love Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if anybody loves Jesus, I'd preach, I do. In a minute. And it was real. But it's not the same kind of love that I have today. After 40 years and been through this storm and that storm and been through this tragedy and that tragedy and all the experiences of life that kind of look like they gang up on you to defeat you and to ruin you. And God has been faithful and God has been diligent, and I've never walked a single step without Him in the last 40 years. Everywhere I go, He goes. Every storm, He's in the storm. When it gets too big for me, He holds my hand. When I can't make it anymore, He carries me through. And when we get to the other side, right there He is. I'm here to tell you that I love Him more today than I ever loved Him. And if you've been saved for any length of time and been through any troubles and God has delivered you, I'm telling you, you will learn to love Jesus more because of the storm than you did before. Oh, how I love Jesus. Love grows. Love can grow. And when you stick with Jesus Christ and watch Him move in your life, and you see Him in the circumstances and the situations and in the good times and in the bad times, when you see how He blesses, when you see how He preserves, how can you not love Jesus? Now, I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't want to tell a fib in the pulpit. I lie to you when I leave, but Jesus been good to me. And I bet you, if I was a betting man, I'm not, but if I was, I would, I'd bet you, Jesus been good to you. And if you're saved by God's grace, you've never faced a storm, you've never faced a trial without Him. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always. And boy, you think about that always. You think about the places you've been, the things you've done, the situations you've encountered, the storms you've had to struggle with. And He never flinched. He never faltered. He never quailed. He never quit. He never departed. Don't you love Him? Don't you love Him? Let's all stand up this morning and just sing the chorus of that song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.